The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Life. Episode 32, Gone Parental. "Pong heads," Nico said, whacking the ping pong ball to his friend Linus. Linus, a boy with black frizzy hair and big red shades, hit the ball back to him.
"I don't know, man. Pong heads? Sounds kind of lame. Like we're calling ourselves morons or something."
It was the perfect day for ping pong. Despite being midsummer, it wasn't too hot in the garage, and Nico's new table was positioned just right next to the band equipment. With the garage open, a summer breeze blew through and allowed them to practice for hours in preparation for the upcoming ping pong tournament at school. The boys hit the ball back and forth, reaching for stray shots with their backhand, swatting high and pounding low, the ball skimming the net with nearly every hit. "No, it doesn't," Nico said defensively. He tossed his brown frizzy hair out of his green shades. "It's the perfect band name. We're ping pong champions and we've got big hair. It's our trademark." Linus reached behind his back and whacked the ball.
"The other guys aren't gonna like it."
"I'm the lead singer," Nico reminded him. "My vote is worth double theirs. Come on, you know Pong Heads is a million times better than You Crushed My Heart, You Heartless Wench. That name's a whole sentence, and Rio came up with it after getting dumped." He swatted the ball, and it bounced off the table out of Linus's reach.
"Fine," Linus said. "Pong Heads it is."
The two tucked their custom paddles into their back pockets and grabbed their guitars. It was tradition for them to start band practice before the others arrived, so they could write songs and see if they were worth playing as a group. By the time their other buddies, Rio and Bryce, showed up, they were ready with a new song. Nico strutted up to the mic and pretended to be in front of a crowd.
"Ladies and gents, we're the Pong Heads."
"Aha! We love you, Pong Heads! Oh my gosh, I'm gonna die!"
He pretended to be a raving fan to the annoyance of his bandmates.
Thank you, he replied to the imaginary crowd. "We love you too."
Rio looked at Bryce and mouthed, "Pong Heads?" Bryce just shrugged.
"This song's called Pick Me Up. A one, two, three, four.
Before they could finish the song, Nico's dad poked his perfectly groomed, nerdy head in.
"Boys? Boys!"
The music died like a deflating balloon. Nico took off his shade so his dad could see how annoyed he was.
"What?"
"Watch that tone, Nico. It's time for dinner. Sorry, guys. You'll have to pick it up tomorrow."
"No problem, Mr. Frampton," Linus said.
"Thanks for letting us play in your garage," Rio added.
"You're pretty rad," Bryce said, setting down the drumsticks.
"My dad, rad?"
Nico laughed. His friends shuffled out, and Nico dragged his feet to the dinner table.
Nico didn't say a word during dinner. He just played with his food and slumped in his chair, still wearing his shades.
"Can you please take those sunglasses off so we can see your face?"
his dad asked.
"Why?
You want to see me glaring at you?" His mom set down her fork.
"That is no way to talk to your father."
"What do you want me to say? Thanks, Dad, for ruining band practice. Thanks for embarrassing me in front of my friends. Thanks for nothing."
"How about thank you for working hard to put food on the table?" his mom suggested.
"I'm fine,"
Nico's dad tried to say, but Nico's mom continued.
Or thank you for parking outside so you and your friends can fill the garage with band equipment and a ping pong table. Thanks for driving me around to places. Thanks for helping with my homework or being supportive." And
Nico jumped up. "Thank you for dinner, Mom." He shot his dad one last nasty look before storming back into the garage to hit some more ping pong balls. That was what Nico usually did when he wanted to blow off some steam. Raise half the table so he could practice hitting balls to himself. After a while, his dad came out to watch him.
"You're getting good,"
he said, folding his arms.
"I hear that tournament's coming up. You think you and Linus can defend the title?"
"It's as good as ours," Nico said, whacking the ball a little harder.
"If you can master that backspin, they won't know what to do with you."
Nico scoffed and shook his head. "What do you know?"
"Believe it or not, I played a little table tennis in my day. Hand me that other paddle. I'll show you that backspin I was..."
"No thanks." Nico stared straight ahead and kept hitting to himself. His dad scratched his perfectly parted hair and looked around the garage.
"You know, I also played a little guitar back in junior high. We called ourselves the Rockin' Rocketeers. Why don't you teach me that new song you wrote?"
"I said no thanks." His dad folded his arms.
"Nico, my dad wasn't around much when I was growing up, so I know I don't have a lot to go off of, but I'm here. I'm trying. Work with me."
Nico didn't reply. Instead, he kept whacking the ball until his dad gave up and left him alone. "Appreciate each other. Like that'll ever happen," he mumbled once his dad was gone. "I wish I didn't have a dad." The ball glowed at the wish. After one last extra hard hit, the ball ricocheted off the wall and hit him square in the forehead. Whack! Gah! Nico woke the next day to the smell of car grease and bike tires. He was lying on the garage floor. The garage door was open and the morning sunshine was pouring in. Was he out all night? He wondered. Why hadn't his parents come to check on him? He touched his forehead. There was no blood, but there was definitely a bump. He knocked himself out with a ping pong ball? A newspaper landed with a plop on the driveway, making him jump.
"Good morning, Mr. Frampton,"
said the paper boy as he rode by on his bike.
"Mr. Frampton?" Nico got to his feet and put his hands on his hips. "Watch out for those potholes, Skyler. They're a doozy."
"Will do."
"Potholes?" Nico touched his mouth. "Doozy? What was he saying?"
"Dad!"
Nico whirled around to see his little sister Emma standing by the van with her backpack on.
"We're gonna be late."
Nico looked over his shoulder to see if his dad was standing behind him. He wasn't. Nico pointed to himself.
"Did you just call me Dad?"
Emma glanced side to side.
Yeah? I've been looking for you all morning. Can we please go now? Mrs. Hill makes us do jumping jacks if we're late."
"Did you brush your teeth and rinse your bowl in the sink?"
Nico touched his mouth again.
Was that him talking?
"Uh-huh," Emma nodded.
"And I fed the cats. Here."
She tossed him the keys and hopped in the back of the van.
What was she doing? Nico wasn't old enough to drive. Was his sister losing it? Maybe she'd been hit by a rogue ping pong ball too.
As he walked over to the car to tell her she was crazy, he froze.
We caught a glimpse of his tinted reflection in the window. What the? He hunched down to look in the side mirror.
Yeah! His back cramped. Oh, ooh, 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 my back!
He gasped at his reflection. Staring back at him in the mirror was his dad's face. The perfectly parted graying hair, the nerdy glasses, the facial scruff, all of it. He gave his cheek a couple of smacks to see if he'd snap out of it, but it did nothing.
Dad, stop hitting yourself. We gotta go.
Emma called from the back seat. Nico mumbled to himself and slowly got into the car.
This can't be happening. This can't be happening.
He started the van and awkwardly pulled out of the driveway, running over the mailbox in the process. The drive to school wasn't pretty. The mailbox was just a start. He also nearly ran over a jogger, drove on the wrong side of the road a couple of times, and kept honking for no reason. Miraculously, they made it to school. Emma couldn't get out of the car fast enough. She backed away from it as if it were a temperamental beast about to pounce.
Dad, I think I'm going to bike to school from now on.
Okie dokie. Have a good day, honey bun.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Emma ran off to class and Nico touched his mouth again.
How do I stop saying these things? He thought.
Just then a cell phone buzzed in his pocket.
Now what?
He reached down and picked up a phone that didn't look familiar.
Hello?
He said hesitantly. A voice blared through the earpiece.
Mark, you're 15 minutes late. If you're not at your desk in 10 minutes, you're fired!
What desk? Is this Principal Roberts?
You think this is funny, Frampton? We need those presentations ready by lunch, or we're going to lose the Intel account. 10 minutes.
Click. The man hung up. The Intel account? Nico thought for a moment. The Intel account. He remembered his dad rambling on about some big Intel account he was working on. That must have been his boss. What a punk. Did his dad have to put up with that guy every day? He thought hard about how to get to his dad's work. They'd driven by it a number of times over the years, but he'd never actually been inside. Cloud Solutions, he said, remembering the sign downtown. Stepping on the gas, he sped off towards his dad's work, recklessly bouncing over curbs on his way out of the parking lot. When he burst through the doors of the office building, his boss was waiting for him in the lobby. He looked like a pink troll with a flat-top haircut wearing a bowling shirt.
Nice of you to show up, he said, handing Nico a stack of papers. Don't forget to include this in the presentations. I swear, Mark, if you screw this up...
I'm on it, Nico said, tucking the stack under his arm. He marched over to the desks and looked for a cubicle with his dad's name on it. There it was, sandwiched in the middle of a sea of cubicles. His desk was the neatest of the bunch, no surprise. Everything was wiped down and every notepad and pencil was lined up perfectly. He sat down and turned on his computer. He'd barely booted up when he heard someone whisper,
"Psst, Mark."
He turned to see a friendly older woman peeking into his cubicle.
Oh, hey.
I just wanted to thank you for standing up for me the other day. Chuck was extra cruel that day. I don't know how you did it, but you got him off my back for the rest of the week.
She handed Nico a Tupperware. What's this?
They're oatmeal cookies. My mother's recipe. You've covered for me who knows how many times. And when you came to my defense last week, well, I figured this was the least I could do.
Wow. Thanks.
Nico tucked the Tupperware into his bag. The older woman looked between his stack of papers and the computer.
Can I help?
Sure.
The woman helped Nico think through what he had to do to put the presentation together. It was a good thing because he had no idea what he was doing. He could tell she was surprised he didn't know this stuff, but played along, explaining in great detail the task at hand. And boy, was it a task. Nico had sat through plenty of boring classes and endured countless hours of grueling homework assignments. But this presentation was brutal. There were so many technical details. The task was confusing and tedious. The day dragged on, and he could tell by the confused glances from his coworkers that they knew something was off. Finally, around lunchtime, he turned in the presentation and bolted. Before his dad's boss could pick his hard work apart, he ran out to the van and peeled out of the parking lot. Then he did something he'd never done before. He went back to school and asked to meet with the school counselor.
"What can I do for you, Mr. Frampton?"
said Mrs. Maple, a woman with pink hair and black gothic attire. Mrs. Maple was known for trying a little too hard to blend in with the other kids at school. There were pop star posters on her walls and a bunch of emoji pillows around her desk. Nico looked out her office window nervously. He turned back to Mrs. Maple.
"I'm not Mr. Frampton. It's me, Nico."
Mrs. Maple chewed her gum.
"I hear ya. I sometimes wish I could be a younger version of myself, but..."
No. Mrs. Maple, really, it's me, Nico. I got hit in the head with a ping pong ball last night and woke up looking like this. Look how high my pants are."
"I wasn't going to say anything, but they are kind of high."
Nico gritted his teeth.
"I've peed like 300 times since I woke up this morning, and I keep saying corny dad jokes every 5 minutes.
Mrs. Maple raised an eyebrow.
"Let's hear it."
Nico looked around the room for inspiration. So many terrible jokes were pouring into his mind. It was like a superpower.
Okay. "How did Benjamin Franklin feel when he discovered electricity?"
Mrs. Maple shrugged and popped another bubble.
"He was shocked."
There was a long pause before Mrs. Maple finally snorted.
"Is that the best you got?"
I came home the other day and one of my kids asked, "Dad, did you get a haircut?" I said, "No, I got them all cut." "Or how about, why did the bed wear a disguise?" "It was undercover." "Why don't seagulls fly over the bay?" "Because they'd be bagels." "Which bear is the most condescending?" "Panda."
"Enough!"
Mrs. Maple stopped him. She hugged her shocked face emoji pillow and let out a long breath.
"Oh, this is serious. Oh, yes, it is."
"It's happening, isn't it?" Nico swallowed. "I'm becoming my dad."
Mrs. Maple squinted and pointed a finger gun at him.
"You, my friend, have gone parental."
"Parental?"
"Uh-huh. These are rare cases, but sometimes when a kid becomes a total brat, they're given a taste of what it's like to be a parent. They get a glimpse into the adult wonders of responsibility."
"Did you just call me a total brat?"
"I'm sorry, Nico. I'm afraid you're stuck as your dad until you..."
She glanced up at him.
"Get it through your misshapen head that he does a lot for you."
Nico rubbed his head, slightly offended.
"How do you know all this?"
Mrs. Maple glanced both ways and then leaned across the table and whispered,
"I'm actually a kindergartner named Susie. I turned into my mom years ago and haven't changed back."
Nico stared at her in horror.
"Years? Are you serious?"
Mrs. Maple smiled.
"Nico, a lot of us turn into our parents in some ways. You'll be your own person, of course, but if you had a brain in that oversized head of yours, you'd take a minute to listen to your dad's advice and appreciate him. If you're lucky, you'll take with you some of his best habits."
There was a long silence as Nico processed everything she said.
"Next!"
Mrs. Maple shouted to the door. Nico turned back and saw no one through the window.
"There's nobody there."
"I know. I'm trying to get you out of my office."
She popped another bubble. Nico left Mrs. Maple's office, thinking about what she'd said. Maybe he had been a little harsh to his dad. When he thought about it, the guy did have some impressive talents. No doubt there were many more he'd find out about if he'd just take the time to get to know him better. He had become so obsessed with ping pong and the band
that anything that got in the way of those things was annoying. At the moment, that happened to be his debt. He was a fun killer, a rule conjurer, a buzzkill. Nico touched his head again. Was his head really that big? He hoped that this sudden realization that his dad did a lot for him would change him back into his super cool self, but it didn't. He was stuck being his dad all day. He took his sister to her dance practice, and she screamed the whole terrifying drive over. He paid bills, took more work calls, and fixed a broken sprinkler with the help of YouTube. He even tried to make dinner, but ended up with what looked like a sizzling black brick on a pan. Just when he was about to collapse on the couch from exhaustion, he sprang up. The ping pong tournament! He threw his little sister in the car, drove to the school, and ran into the gym wearing his cool shades, holding his special ping pong paddle, and pulling his little sister along in the wagon, forgetting that his dad pants were still way too high. His heart sank. They were folding up the tables. The tournament was over. He missed it. That night, Nico summoned what little energy he could to read his little sister a book and tuck her in. When his little sister gave him a big hug and a kiss on the cheek, he had to admit, it felt good. It was one of the few moments of appreciation he'd received all day. Flipping off her light, he shuffled to his room and for the first time in his life set an alarm so he wouldn't be late for work the next day. Then he did something he never thought he'd do. He read a book. With his reading glasses resting on the edge of his nose, he peered down at a book on World War II. After a couple of surprisingly interesting chapters, he fell fast asleep. When he woke the next morning, something was different. The glasses had fallen off his nose, but he could see just fine without them. His face and chest weren't hairy anymore. He ran to the bathroom and looked in the mirror. He was himself! Ha ha! Jumping up and down, he gave the mirror a big kiss, threw on his clothes, and ran out into the kitchen. His mom, dad, and sister were already having breakfast.
Good morning,
his dad said. Good morning, Nico replied happily, bouncing his elbows in an excited march over to the table. His dad stood.
Nico, about last night, I'm sorry I embarrassed.
No, I'm sorry, Nico interrupted. I was kind of a jerk. Nico's mom and dad exchanged a shocked look. When do you have to be at work? Nico asked, sitting down and pouring himself a bowl of cereal.
Not for another hour.
Perfect. You can drop me off at school on your way. But first, we need to jam. Nico's dad looked around to see if his son was talking to him.
You're talking to me?
Yeah, Dad. You said you know how to play the guitar. Show me what you got. Nico's dad shot up and ran to the garage with a giddy pep in his step. He and Nico strapped on a guitar and started making up a song. A one, a one, a one, two, three, four.
Everything's fine. Wouldn't expect any more from this. The situation's in line with every story that I heard of the burning bliss. And I wait, trying to appreciate. And I wait, trying to evaluate. Was it something that I did? Was it something that I couldn't quite handle right? An invitation to a thrill, a growing comfort that somehow it would be alright. And I wait, trying to appreciate. And I wait, wanting to come a day. Changing.
song came to an end, and both Nico and his dad were beaming.
"That was amazing,"
his dad said. Nico looked at his dad as if he didn't recognize the man.
"You were amazing. I had no idea you were a gray-haired Hendrix. Dad, that was nuts."
"Yeah, it was. Totally sick, rad, bodacious."
"Stop, stop," Nico laughed.
"What should we call her song?"
His dad shrugged.
"I don't know. What do you think?"
Nico thought for a minute.
"Let's call it Gone Parental."
Nico's dad bounced his eyebrows and nodded.
"Gone Parental."
Nico and his dad set down the guitars and played a quick game of ping pong. To Nico's surprise, his dad was better than him. He put on a show with that backspin of his, curving the ball in the perfect spot, diving for strays, and miraculously hitting them back on the table. The man was a table tennis prodigy. Once the shock of seeing his dad's King of Pong gifts wore off, Nico just enjoyed hitting the ball back and forth.
"Thanks for everything you do, Dad," he said. "I know it's a lot."
"You're welcome. I know your life isn't always a walk in the park either. I'll try to be more patient. I love you."
"I love you too."
His dad did a cheesy spin hit that was impossible to stop. The ball bounced off the table, and his dad won.
"Good game,"
his dad said, setting down the paddle.
"Need to do this kind of stuff more often. What do you say we try golfing this Saturday?"
Nico smiled. Okie dokie.
Rocketeers, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Life. It's been a while since we've done a Life episode, and I hope you can appreciate my terrible Ray Romano impersonation. Oh, parents, you might know who Ray from the Everybody Loves Raymond or whatever. I honestly didn't watch that show, but I was like trying to find a voice for the dad and like looking for a voice to impersonate, and I just slaughtered that one. But anyway, whatever. Okay, I tried. This was basically my Father's Day episode, Rocketeers. I've never done a Father's Day episode, and I know it's a little late, but father figures are a special breed. I've obviously praised moms a ton in the past, but I don't think I've given enough shout-outs to dads or father figures. You know, whether you have a dad or your dad isn't around, likely you have a dad-like figure, whether it's an uncle, maybe it's a cool guy teacher that you look up to. I know I've had a lot of father-like figures in my life who have been incredible examples to me of good, responsible men who are just awesome individuals who really step up and put others before themselves. I have so many examples. I'm not even going to go into the list because I'm sure I'd forget people, but just so many good people. And I obviously think about my own dad, and I'm very grateful for my dad. He's a phenomenal person. I strive to be more like him. He's definitely a tough measuring stick to live up to because he's just such a good guy. And everybody loves my dad. So anyway, Chris Webb, this one's for you. I'm going to dedicate this episode to you. One of my favorite characteristics of my dad, he's very hardworking, fun personality, goofy guy. But one of my favorite personality traits of his is his humility. My dad is good at a lot of random stuff. Like, it's one of those things I just kind of discover these new talents. And I'm like, what the heck? You're good at that too? Like, what is going on here? Just a really interesting person, but yet you'll never hear him, you know, talk about himself. He's just so incredibly humble. And I can think of times in the past when I was younger where I didn't maybe appreciate my dad enough. I didn't appreciate both my parents enough, I'm sure. But there were moments, you know, where me and my dad had disagreements, and I'll never forget, even if I got into a dispute with my dad, we disagreed on something, maybe there's an argument, my dad was always the first to come to my room and apologize.
for his part in that. Even if it was me that was being the dum-dum, even if it was my fault, clearly, you know, I was being a brat or something, you know, my dad would apologize and be humble, and I'm so grateful for that example. Anyway, love you, Dad. I want you, if you haven't already, to write a thank you note to your dad or father-like figure, somebody that you've looked up to that's been a good example to you. I know that no dad is perfect. I am certainly not perfect. And I know that the most important thing I do is being a dad and a husband. And holy cow, once you become a dad, you realize my dad did a lot. It's a lot. And moms, obviously, moms and dads, they just do a lot. Parents do a lot. And then once you don't realize until you finally become a parent. So Rocketeers, take a moment to write your parents a thank you note. Tell them how much you love and appreciate them. And try to maybe even be a little more helpful and find opportunities to help around the house, outside of the house, whatever it is. Because as a family, we're a team. We're a crew. I am so grateful for all you dads out there, for your examples, for you striving to be better, for being good examples to me. I know I have a lot of peers and friends that I'm like, whew, yeah, I could do that better. I like the way that they're doing this. And I know none of us are perfect, but being a dad is way more important than any other job or career that a guy might have. So anyway, thank you dads out there for all you do. Thank you, Rocketeers, for listening. Be sure to tune in for the new season coming up soon. This is your host, Greg Webb.